Radio.
Oh, by the way, Izzy, Joey, and Mark.
Aloha.
Hello.
Hello, Izzy.
So you know the two voices, not just Joey and M Ray Guns.
You assume I can even see the screen from angle.
There you go.
Yes, destroy your stuff, Wobble Sushi.
Get him. Get him, boy.
He specifically likes destroying the baby blue ones. Maybe it tears easier.
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Yeah, I guess we'll just get started. Go from there.
What are we doing?
Grease 2, baby.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, we had to watch like all three our next three movies like yesterday because we're hashing them out here in the next 24 hours. So.
I mean, the important thing is that the three movies we watched all have the same plot.
Oh, God, they are so similar. Because it's Grease 2, Voyage of the Rock Aliens, and Streets of Fire, which is basically all 80s musicals where the people dress like they're in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically, the main drama is, oh, my old boyfriend's kind of a dick, and I'm kind of intrigued by this new one, and then blah, blah, blah.
Oh, and then biker gangs.
Yeah.
I love Voyage of the Rock Aliens, and especially love about it is the conceit of the movie is that her boyfriend won't let her sing in his band. So these aliens show up, and they form their own band. But her boyfriend's band's awesome, so it's like, why would he let her sing in the band? Their band's good.
Look, he doesn't let himself sing in the band.
It's just like this awesome like punk rockabilly band, and you're just like, well, of course he's not going to let her sing in it. It's a good band. She shows up with this terrible like Devo-type alien band, and she does that dance in the school dance where she doesn't take her hands out of her pockets the entire time.
Yeah.
Look, if you had pockets on that outfit, would you ever take your hands out of them?
Probably not, but I also wouldn't film strange music videos with Jermaine Jackson either, so, you know.
Oh, well, then you're just missing out on life.
Exactly. Don't worry, Mark, I'll make you watch that at some point.
Look, if Jermaine Jackson came up and said, Izzy, I need you for my music video, I'd be like, I don't even care. Sure, let's do it.
Let's do it, JJ.
Join me inside this locker with a panther, please. Don't worry, Mark, I'll make you watch it at some point.
You know, Mark, you're in for a treat. It's a musical I actually enjoy.
I'm curious about it now because at work they play a TV channel that has like all 80s videos in it, 80s music videos. Mm. And like 95% of them, I'm like, oh, I know Billy Idol, I know Bon Jovi, like I know all of these videos. But there is this Jermaine Jackson video with this girl, and it's just weird, like a Mad Max type of video. And I'm like,
That's the one.
I have no idea what this is at all.
And it looks like they're like in the ruins of like a weird French provincial town on the beach.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
There's a guy in a white leather outfit with too much eye makeup. And,
Pia Zadora's wearing weird glasses.
Yeah.
See, that's the one. Mark, you've already made it through like 10 minutes of the movie right there.
Yeah, that's literally how the movie starts.
That's the opening.
And then Jermaine says, good day, crackers. and then they have their own little grease ripoff.
Oh, my God.
And then a robot has to go get the crew out of the fridge.
I can't wait. Can't wait.
Then get ready for another term at Rydell High with Michelle Pfeiffer and Maxwell Caulfield. Grease 2.
Yeah! Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies.
And tonight!
Oh, tonight.
Oh, we are continuing Super Sexy Sing in September. Woo! With 1982's Grease 2!
They're definitely high schoolers.
They certainly are, just like every other movie we've watched. Gosh, I think this month there's only one high school person involved in all of them. It's Diane Lane.
So, wait, the lady we know is being an old lady. Yeah. It's the only one.
Oh, wait, there's a 12-year-old in this one.
That's right. There's a 12-year-old in this one.
Oh, but babe.
Steve.
I don't know if you know this.
What?
We're not alone for this one.
What?
That's right. Finally making it onto our podcast from the So Wizard podcast. We have Joey and Mark. Welcome, gentlemen.
It is good to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation. But this movie, yikes.
Wait, I was told this was yours and Joey's like favorite movie. That's the whole premise of having you guys on.
Yeah, this is Joey's favorite movie, definitely.
This movie is cool enough to burn me through and through, let me tell you.
Oh, no.
That's right, we forgot Joey's the sadist that told us about Rhapsody Street Kids. And
oh, no, it's like a hot rock. Wait, was that this movie? Whatever. One of the movies they were singing that we've seen this month, they were singing about a hot rock and burning through you. And
yeah, it's this one. Yeah,
okay, yeah, because I remember turning to you and going, she's singing about crack, right?
No, that's just what you need to make it through the movie is crack. So.
Actually, that would have helped really good. But yeah, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us for this glorious event. Before we get things started, though, are you gentlemen drinking anything on your end?
Nope, I am just having a glass of Gold Peak sweet tea. That's about it.
Ooh, nice. Well, babe, I don't know about you. I'm a little bit thirsty.
I'm a little bit sober.
Oh, well, let's take care of that. Looks like from Ketos Brewing, in honor of this movie, we have a vanilla nut cream ale, which is a cream ale with vanilla bean and almond extract. Because, what? There we are, 4.7% alcohol by volume. Yeah, could be better. But my top?
Oh, his top.
Nice. And the pour?
Ooh, this is a very pale beer for being, I guess it's female. Well,
yeah, very vanilla, and everybody's wanting a nut, just like this movie.
Yes, this is a pale straw color beer. Has a white foamy head, lots of tiny bubbles.
And the bubbles make me happy.
Ooh, you spilled the vanilla right on the nose.
Ooh.
Steve's gone in for the sip.
Yeah, definitely in cream ale, just a little... Mm-hmm. Little nuttiness to it. Yeah, I guess that's the, we'll say almond flavoring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely some vanilla on there.
Yeah, nice and smooth, though. Yeah, you can drink this all day if you wanted to. Mm-mm-mm. It's Ketos Brewing Vanilla Nut Cream Ale.
Yeah. Vanilla nut.
Oh, but Grease 2. Gentlemen, was this your first time watching this movie?
Joey?
Joey? No, I have seen this movie probably a million times. I fell in love with this movie when I was a kid. It was on HBO nonstop when I was a kid.
This explains why I feel like a lot of people have seen it and I haven't seen it. I never had HBO, even when we had hacked cable.
Hmm. Yeah, when I was a kid, we had HBO and there were just certain movies that were on there all the time. This was one of them. I love this movie. Beastmaster, yep. Red Dawn was another one that was on there all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Just all these.
Just a second. The dog is running with scissors. I don't know where he got scissors.
Oh, my God.
He heard Grease 2 was being discussed. He's coming to cut you.
So much.
Yeah, he's like, enough of this.
But I did fall in love with this movie. I actually saw it before I saw the original Grease. And I currently own it on limited edition Steelbook Blu-ray. So I'm a big fan.
Oh, wow.
I'm a big fan.
Excellent. Mark, how about you?
Yeah, this is my second time watching it. The first time I watched it is because of Joey. So if it wasn't for Soap Wizard Podcast, I would have never seen this movie. So yeah, this is only my second, but it's only my second time watching it, but I do own it on DVD.
Why was this only the second time you had watched it, Mark? You're like a connoisseur of film. I would expect you would have had encountered it. You love Xanadu. How have you not seen this more than once?
I have no idea how I missed this movie. I was a fan of the first movie, so you would think, and I love sequels, so you would think Grease 2 would be right up my alley. But somehow, without Danny and Sandy, and it came out, God, 4 years afterwards? 5 years afterwards? I think I was too consumed with like lightsabers and superheroes at that point to care about Grease.
Makes sense. So in defense, I didn't know this movie existed until like the late 90s. One of my friends like pulled out a VHS or something of it. And I was like, wait, Grease 2? What the fuck is this? Is it like a porn or something? Yeah, because I knew of the first Grease, but I didn't know of Grease 2. But it was like, oh, Michelle Pfeiffer, you say?
Yeah, that would have been This Ain't Grease XXX.
Grease 30? Yeah. That's a lot. And then, yeah, God, we watched it. I watched it with you, what, like 6-7 years ago, maybe? We
just something saw
it
like on like that.
Netflix or something.
I think I had, like, maybe I'd heard of it, but, like, I think I was like, no, that's a lie. I'd seen Grease a million times. My mom had the CD in her car.
Yeah. Didn't care for Grease. And, but you know, most musicals to me, it's like whole 5 minute production, and it's like, well, you could have just said yes or no. let's get the plot moving along, you know. But this one comes from director Patricia Birch.
Who's she, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. And if you're wondering what that ripping and tearing noise in the background is, our dog has his ripping and tearing toy, apparently. Was it called a snuffle ball?
He's supposed to snuffle his treats out of it, but he gets frustrated and just rips them out by
force.
By force, yes. He also just drank part of my beer. That's what he was doing when I was taking the scissors away, babe.
Damn alcoholic. All right, so. But Patricia Birch, she directed this. And then some Cyndi Lauper music videos for Money Changes Everything and, of course, True Colors, everybody's favorite. She did the Gershwin Gala, a TV special. She was the dance choreographer for Grease, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Band, 38 episodes of SNL, Big, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Sleeping with the Enemy, North, First Wives Club, and Stepford Wives. Half of those movies I didn't even know needed a dance choreographer. Yeah, Sleeping with the Enemy? Right. Was there a dance number in that?
There's a huge one right in the middle.
Yeah, actually, there is. The guy's dancing to When You're a Jet, something You're a Jet from West Side Story. So, yeah, that requires some choreography.
Are you being serious, Mark, or no?
It's the only thing I remember from that movie.
I don't remember anything about that movie except that was the enemy she was sleeping with. Didn't he have, like, a fantastic mustache?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. And from writer Ken Finkelman. Thanks, babe.
Sorry, I didn't realize I had to carry all the weight here on this podcast. I love you, Steve.
I'm glad you asked.
Wait, but who is he?
He wrote this.
Wait, but who is he? Who's he, Steve?
Well, he wrote this. Airplane 2, the sequel. Some TV stuff. And then is the creator of The Newsroom and Good Dog.
All right.
He also wrote Madonna's Who's That Girl? Not related to Who's That Guy from this movie.
Interesting.
But it probably spawned the idea. Who's that guy? That could be something else.
Man, it's just rolling off my tongue. It's so familiar. I don't know why. But of course, starring Michelle Pfeiffer as Stephanie, Maxwell Caulfield as Michael, who I kept calling Rex Manning the whole movie. Christopher McDonald is Goose, not from Top Gun. Adrian Zamed, Didi Khan, Sid Caesar, Eddie Deason, Connie Stevens, the whole pack's here. I don't know.
Yeah.
And guys, I'll be honest. I think I've only seen the original Grease once. So when it was like, oh yeah, I know Frenchie, are all these the same people coming back or like the same characters, but then luckily we open up and it's like, oh no, it's was it Sandy's cousin from Britain?
Yeah.
And we're like, wait, wasn't she Australian or not? I don't know. I don't remember.
Look, it's all just same white thing. People country, Steve. They're the same. Yeah.
Just ask Paul and Wayne. It's all the same thing.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a new school year at Rydell High, 1961. It's fantastic. And like we mentioned, the 80s just had this thing for musicals set 30 years earlier.
Yeah, in a world that doesn't really exist.
Yeah. Are there musicals out there like today that are like about the 90s?
Yeah, I think that's what Mamma Mia is.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
I thought it was set in ancient Greece.
Just because it's in an old part of Greece doesn't make it ancient. See, are you telling you? That's not how history works.
I mean, Pierce Brosnan's kind of old, but... All right. We'll go with that. Let's see. So, yeah, school year starting. And I don't know. Just a bus of pro dancers just show up and start having a whole thing with this singing the song Back to School Again. And that goes on for about 5 minutes. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's long.
Oh, but it's all about
long.
How they don't want to go back to school. Except for they're singing and dancing about it. So maybe they do want to go back to school. Oh, and we find out it's senior year. Top of the pack. The Greases.
Yeah, we see Michelle Pfeiffer, what's her name, Stephanie. She's the new leader of the Pink Ladies since everybody else graduated.
Yeah, their job is to look cool, think cool, and act cool.
And she's got to date a T-Bird or something, apparently, right?
Yeah, she can only date vehicles, no people.
All right, then.
T-Bird's a Thunderbird.
But yes, it is.
Yeah.
I'll kill him.
Yeah.
She can only date Val Kilmer.
Oh man, that'd be great, actually. Will this be 3 years before Top Gun?
Val Kilmer is Sandy's cousin. I'm in.
Yeah. Oh shit. He'd have been perfect for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Take that, Rex Manning. But hey, the Greasers. The T-Birds are back too. And they're led by Johnny, who's I think all of like 4'9", but he's the leader. Everybody follows him, including Shooter McGavin, who's playing Goose.
Shooter McGavin, who doesn't look a day over 42.
Look, he might have been 21.
But he looked older than every teacher there. If you put him in a suit and said he was the principal, I would have bought it.
Yeah, true.
Adrian Smed playing We Have... We have the Danny Zuko at home.
He's just a little Zuko.
Yeah. Right.
Danny Zuko at home.
Danny Zuko from Wish.com. It's rough.
Not even full size yet. Do we add water to it or something?
Right. Yeah. He stuck him in a jar of water overnight.
But we're also introduced to Sandy's cousin, Michael, coming off the bus. And, of course, Frenchie, she's back again. I guess she wasn't held back. She just wanted to come back to learn chemistry to make her own cosmetics.
Because I don't think she graduated.
I mean, that's the real reason why. But
yeah,
is that a thing you could do? Like, in the 60s, was that a thing you could do, was just decide to randomly go back to high school for one class?
No! Like, it was more frowned upon than it is now. Once you were done with school, you were fucking done with school.
That's right. You're going to the army, or you were waitressing.
Waitressing, prostitution, it's all the same.
Well, it's goods and services.
Either way, you come home with folding money.
That's right. But we get a whole bunch of exposition from her of like, oh yeah, here's what you're going to want to know about Rydell High, blah, 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 T-Birds, Pink Ladies, whatever. And, she makes her own cosmetics, blah, blah, blah. During this whole dance routine that is like the first 10 minutes of the movie or whatever, there's the scene with like the guys like dribbling the basketballs in like the whitest way I've ever seen. And I'm like, says the white
guy from Utah.
Skip.
That, I want you guys to know Steve played basketball. He even played semi-pro.
Yeah.
So bad basketball, like, makes Steve wildly uncomfortable.
Oh, wow.
Especially when they're, like, staring at the ball like they've never touched one before. And there's, like, okay, in the hand, in the hand, in the hand. Oh, turn to the left. In the other hand, other hand, other hand. Yeah. But, Yeah, so that scene eventually ends, and we find out that...
Oh, thank God it ends.
We go through the entire song, of course, as musicals do. And we find out that Johnny and Stephanie were going together, but apparently they're broken up now. Though Johnny's, like, not really sure about it. I don't know, he's just kind of like, oh, whatever, we can still hook up, right?
I think we're on a break.
He's playing the field. The field of the four women he's allowed to date.
Right. It's got to be a pink lady.
Got to be a pink lady.
All pink on the inside.
Then Eddie Deason showing Michael to his lockers, and then a bunch of T-Birds come up and like harass him, like, "Oh no, you can't use these lockers." And I don't know, man. Maybe it's just me. Were there ever really bullies like this in high school, or is this just like a TV thing?
I don't know. I mean, you're talking to somebody who got thrown in a trash can by seniors.
No, that's true.
So I'm not the person to ask.
Maybe I was the bully.
I think the bullies we had, at least, were intimidating. Like, Adrian's med and some guy that looks old enough to be our dad really weren't too intimidating. The other two guys were just goofs, so I'm not sure how these guys were, like, running the school. Not a single person was willing to step up to them. Mark, were these the guys bullying you in high school?
No, definitely not these guys. They definitely are the weakest bullies, I would say, like, in a high school, in any kind of movie high school anyway. Because these guys they're kind of punks. See, when they get challenged, like, you know, not to jump too far ahead, but when they get challenged by other guys who look like they can really kick their ass, they just punk out and just back away. And I'm like, how are you running the school? John Travolta,
they have no competition there.
John Travolta,
right, did you see the basketball playing?
Yeah. It's slim pickings, all right.
I think that was the coach, wasn't it? No, well, yeah. No, it was Sid Caesar.
This also you would have been the bully at the school.
Oh, it also kind of calls into, like, suspect, like, the original movie, because in theory, these are the people from the underclass. So these were the people John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John picked out to keep their gangs going. So they're like, we're going to get in this car and fly away.
Right.
But you guys are going to have to run the school now that we have invented flying cars. Now, sadly, the movie does not explore the impact of flying cars on the economy in the 60s, but we're expected to be like, Danny and Sandy picked these guys to run the school, and these people are idiots. So maybe they aren't as cool as we were made to think in the first movie.
Right?
Maybe, yeah. But but this is also when Michael first sees Stephanie for the first time, and like many of us who've seen Michelle Pfeiffer for the first time, it's instantly smitten and just... we get some morning announcements where we welcome back Mr. Spears, who's back from his breakdown at the asylum.
Yeah.
Probably the realest thing in this movie.
Right.
I mean, he basically spends the rest of the movie considering killing himself and walking into pools and whatnot.
Right. But...
He probably got to read the script ahead of everyone else. That's why.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I know where this is leading. Yeah. And then we get some twin cheerleaders, and I'm like, all right, here we go. Now we're talking. And they're basically chasing Michael down on the track to, I don't know, they're basically like, hey, we heard through the grapevine that you played the piano. And he's like, I'm British, so I guess I do. And you should enter a talent show. Sure, ladies, whatever. I don't know. But, yeah, you guys, yeah, feel free to jump in here. I just have random notes where it's like, yeah, Coach Sid Caesar shows up and gets pushed into an empty grave in the middle of a football field.
I remember the empty graves in the middle of the football field.
Yeah, those are always things, right?
Yeah.
I assume it's where they hid the fireworks until they needed them after the homecoming.
No, no. Okay. The empty graves were in the ag department that was next to the football field. And did I tell you about when we completely traumatized the football team by slaughtering a sheep during practice?
No. What?
Well, so we had the ag department, and occasionally animals that didn't get picked up by the butcher had to be butchered on campus.
Of course.
The butcher was late because he got a flat tire. So basically, as the football team came running out onto the field, was after he had already shot the sheep, hung it, and was doing the gut slice.
Yeah.
And they all just stopped midfield. They were like half a football field away, but they were all just staring. The coach is like, come on, move, you panties! Yeah, come on. And there was like, oh.
Looks like my sheep. Yeah. I had a similar thing. I was at a Boy Scout meeting during the month I was in Boy Scouts. And right next to the church parking lot, we saw a guy walk out to a cow, string it up. I mean, we're just like waiting to the bus should be here any minute for our trip. And about the time he opened up the guts like a fucking predator was when hey, the bus pulled up.
And everything kind of slops out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Jesus. Yeah, that was about the time the football team ran it. This is a life in when you're more rural.
I guess so. Wow. I was just saying that Rydell, it seems like almost might be like an alternate universe where people like people like Adrian Zmed are intimidating. And then Maxwell Caulfield walks on campus and no one cares. Nobody tries to hook up with them. They're like, this guy sucks. He's not good looking.
Yeah, he's not good looking. Accents aren't sexy.
That crazy foreigner.
Yeah, it's like 11 out of 10 getting off the bus, and everybody's like, ew, I like 4-foot-tall Adrian Zmed better.
he's too clean and chiseled.
Well, I do like the twin cheerleaders who later went on to star in the sitcom Double Trouble. Mark, do you remember that at all?
I do not remember that. I'm sorry.
No. Awesome. maybe Grease 2 implanted something in my head as a kid because I dated a girl from cheerleading that was a twin when I was in high school. So
there you go.
Nice. Just implanted on me. I needed a cool rider and I started dating twins.
Next thing you know, you're on a motorcycle with a helmet.
No shirt on, jacket zipped down about halfway.
Yeah. Oh, man. Very influential film for young Joey.
That's right. Very fundamental in my foundation of my life.
Yeah. Oh, at practice or whatever, here's when the rival bikers first rolled. What are the names of the rival bikers? I never caught that.
40-year-old guy with acne gang.
Pretty much, yeah. The one dude kind of looks like I don't know, like Thomas Jane almost, but more yoked even.
Yeah.
he rolled up. I'm like, oh man, this guy's like a horror movie.
According to Wikipedia, they are the Scorpions.
Oh, okay.
It's the same guy in both Grease movies, so the Grease cinematic universe has continuity.
What? That's the guy from Grease 1?
Yeah.
No.
Oh. So he's like Matthew McConaughey, and he keeps getting older. Everyone else stays the same age.
It's pretty sad, though. I mean, the guy's like in his 40s. He's still picking fights with high schoolers. Mm.
He just came back chemistry class. That's all.
Past chemistry. He wants to make his own makeup, clear up the skin.
I got who he reminded me of. He was like Biff Tannen if he had a couple scars.
Yes.
But he basically just like rolls up and, he's like, oh, what are you doing on our turf? You know, little Adrian's a man or what, a little Johnny. And like, yeah, we'll settle this tonight. The bowling alley. Yeah, the bowling alley. Cut to the bowling alley and... they're bowling and dancing and something about the cure for nymphoid maniacs. And here we go. Sorry, guys. I wish I could do more. I'm just pulling off my notes. And it's like, they were dancing and there was music playing. What was that song? It's like, let's bowl, let's bowl, let's rock and roll.
Yeah. Hey, come on. Let's get this show on the road.
I believe the title of the song.
We're gonna score tonight.
That's right. We're gonna score tonight.
Tonight.
Voyage on the Rock. Rock aliens. We're gonna roll. We're gonna bop. We're gonna bowl. We're gonna score bowl. Tonight. Oh, I may or may not have owned the soundtrack on tape.
Jesus.
And my next note is just so many lane violations. None of these strikes will count.
I also may have gotten that tape for Christmas from Santa Claus, just saying.
But, Santa Claus or Sandy Claus?
That's right. That was the gift that was supposed to ruin Christmas that Oogie Boogie gave out. And I'm like, whoa, Grease 2, all right.
Like, oh no. What have I done?
I think this is our first inkling that Paulette wants to make the moves on Johnny.
Oh, you mean when she's like bent over, you know, face down, ass up, rolling the ball as slow as she possibly can and getting a strike?
Right.
Yeah, she's being very subtle with it. And
I want to believe, like, because I love how bad this movie is, I want to believe somewhere that she, like, brought her mom, Judy Garland, to the premiere. It was like, watch this movie. I'm a star, too, now.
Wait, is that really Judy Garland's daughter?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Look, Mom, look at me on a big screen in a big musical. I can do it, too.
Remember when you were in a musical? That was a generational event. People still watch on TV to this day. Well, here's Grease.
Come on, Liza. You can see it, too. Right. Oh, wait, you're in Arthur this year?
God. It's Liza.
Wait, it is Liza?
No, I wish it was. It'd be even funnier.
No, okay, yeah. Because I'm like, wait, no, she was like an Arthur or something this year.
That's right. She was very busy.
Yeah. And then Arthur on the Rocks, like, immediately after. I don't know. There's something about Johnny says something stupid about women being trophies. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because, yeah, Paulette's like, hey, where's my trophy? Gets a kiss and, like, goes over to Stephanie, like, where's my other trophy for best score? Or something like that. Like, ugh, gross. And I love how Steph's like, I can kiss the next guy who comes through that door. And there's, like, an old guy, like, finally, my time has come.
I've been waiting at this bowling alley for 50 years. Finally, this is my time to shine.
but of course he's cock blocked when oh my god, what's his name, Michael comes through the front door and she just plants one right on him and he's like, man, I gotta come to this bowling alley more often. And then right after that happens, like, everybody just, like, leaves. He's like, hello fellow teenagers, would any of you care for some bowling?
He's practicing on the way in. Anybody want to throw some balls?
Yeah. He's like checking his American phrase book, and other times he's like, wait, do they really have that for, like, bowling phrases? Or? Right.
So, like, in this scene, have you guys, did this ever happen to any of you guys where you got, like, prank kissed or prank asked out or anything?
No.
No. I was pretty bloomer, and not a thing for me. Most people, generally women, were running in the opposite direction. They weren't coming to kiss me.
So. Yeah, strictly hand stuff for me.
Okay. I got pranked asked to a dance. Like, it was just one of those, like, a group of, I don't know, guys who thought a lot of themselves, like, found some flowers and were just running around asking all the quote-unquote ugly girls to go to the dance, and most of them were telling them to go fuck themselves. And I'd seen them do this to three or four girls. So I was like, oh, now is the time to, like, pull the reverse psychology. So they, like, they ran up to me. I knew they would because I was one of the ugly kids. And they were like, will you go to the dance with me? I've been dreaming about going with you. And I was like, yes. Like, really breathy. And the guy was like, I don't actually want to go to the dance with you. You're supposed
just
to
came
say no.
In his pants, yeah.
Like, yeah, and I was like, oh, good, because that was actually a pity, yes.
Weren't you supposed to take down your ponytail and take off your glasses and you just become beautiful at that point? Like, isn't that what movies have taught us?
I didn't have glasses yet, even. And I had bad teeth, and I was short and fat. And
she's all that lied to us, Mark.
Oh, damn it.
I know.
She really isn't all that.
That's basically right. I was the 12-year-old in this movie.
Yeah.
The 12-year-old.
Well, that's just it. Like, everybody leaves except for this 12-year-old, and she's like like, oh, hey, let me just break it down for you what's going on here. If you're going to get any kind of strange in this town, you're going to need a bike. And you're going to be cool as shit. And
she's just like, by the way, my name's Dolores. Yeah, let me give you some exposition and move the plot along. Also, it's uncomfortable because I'm going to talk about you being my boyfriend.
Yeah, well, especially when he's like, why don't I take you out for some ice cream? He's like, whoa, I'm not that easy. He's like, well, fine, how about we call it a date then? Well, why didn't you say so?
Yikes. Grease 2 trivia, that actress, the voice of Bobby Hill on King of the Hill.
No way.
Oh shit. That's amazing. Good. Glad to see she fell on her feet for 15 years.
Yeah. That's right.
She's got plenty of money now. She'll sign all your Grease 2 posters.
All right, so when we get her on the podcast, babe, we have to ask her specifically about only about Grease 2.
Only about Rex Manning.
Nothing about King of the Hill whatsoever.
It's like, yeah, we know everybody's great.
How does Rex Manning smell?
So, I guess the next morning, the new teacher shows up, Mr. Stewart, and... I don't know, he like walks into class like, oh, I'm your substitute teacher, and they're like, fuck this, and just walk right out. I'm like, okay.
That was the realest thing to happen in this movie. Once I stopped, I'm like, yep, that's how high school was. Get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
We were pretty bad in high school. Like, me and my friends were not well behaved, and even we were never that bad. We never just like got up and walked out of a class or immediately broke into a song about sexual reproduction or anything like that.
I think the worst I ever saw somebody do to a teacher was legitimately the meanest teacher in school. My friend Jeremiah, it was the teacher was the meanest, and he was the economics teacher. And he was just a fucking moron, and everybody knew it. But he was the only economics teacher, so every kid had to take him at some point. And you had this group project every year where you had to come up with a fake product, and then you had to like market it, because marketing is part of economics, not actually doing the math. And I don't know. I was me and Jeremiah and a couple of other kids. We decided we were coming up with this hybrid like screw and nail. And Jeremiah came up with like a "Don't get nailed, get screwed" was our tagline. And Mr. Michael, the worst teacher, comes over and says like, "Don't I don't want you to ever say that in my class again." Just like, we're just chatting. We haven't even made it our official like logo. And Jeremiah says, "Say what? Say don't get screwed, don't get nailed, get screwed." And Mr. Michael's like, "Never say that again." What? Don't say "Don't get nailed, get screwed." All right, you're going to the principal's office. You're getting suspended for a week. Like, that was the most confrontation. It was like, Jeremiah's like, "Whoa, I got out of the project. You guys, it's a group project. You guys do well for me."
Larry's like, "Getting screwed. I'm out of here. Bye, guys."
Basically.
Oh, wait. So you guys didn't have like a sixth grader throwing a desk at an arts teacher or anything like that?
Oh, no. Because
that happened
right to
me all the time.
In middle school, one guy did throw another guy through a window.
Oh, shit.
I forgot about that. I still don't know what that was about. That was just in history class.
Wow. We had a girl in eighth grade that had a crazy overbite, and everybody used to call her the Bartman. And then she messed with the school I went to was called Lynch Middle School. And then The scary girls that were tougher than like even the scariest guy, we were called the Lynch Mob, and they would like jump you. And she said the wrong thing to the wrong member of the Lynch Mob, and they lit her hair on fire in the cafeteria.
Oh, shit.
So everybody called her the Burnt Man after that.
Oh, no.
It's supposed to be funny. You guys are horrified, but
yeah, it's pretty good. No,
that's when you live in a non-rural area when you grow up.
So much fire involved. Yeah,
so me and Mark grew up in an urban environment.
I mean, some meth heads broke into the school and murdered a couple of the sheep with a pitchfork, and I was the one who got to find the sheep.
Oh.
And then a few days later, the like junior PETA vegan group on campus decided to confront me, and I punched one of them, and I still don't remember what she said to make me that mad. But I've only punched two people in my life. One was my sister, and one was this girl who I'd never seen until that day, and I never saw a fucking again.
Fucking right. She wised up.
I watched these things and it was like, oh, this man I'd never seen before came and I think he was an angel. He gave me advice. I was like, apparently I just punched an angel. I don't know. Because nobody I know knows who this girl was.
She fucked around and found out, so.
She fucked around and found out, and then the junior PETA group was not allowed to have anything to do on campus whatsoever. And the police investigated them for potentially being involved, even though it was really just crackheads who cut the locks and broke in.
They actually had nothing to do with the animals. They were huge into Greek food, and you just punched them in the face. But,
right?
Gotta make some shawarma! So we get a scene here where like the principal catches Johnny smoking, but to hide it, he like swallows the cigarette. And I don't know. I've seen somebody do that in real life now.
He didn't swallow it. He put it out on his tongue. Kudos to Patrick. I know you're not listening, but in case you ever find this, it's visceral.
Yeah, it smells differently than you would expect.
There's Yikes. A sound and smell associated.
Yeah. but yeah, basically, then we cut to talent show auditions, and I'm like, yay, more singing and dancing.
these auditions are like, these are psycho, man. They're auditioning for like 45% of the movie. This is very important.
Right?
Yeah, runtime. And, I think it's, like, the first time that Michael tries to, like, hit on Stephanie, like, ask her, like, are you free tonight? Like, I'm free every night. It's in the Constitution. And, so she basically, you know, he is like, well, what about tomorrow night? And blah, blah, blah. And she basically shuts him down, probably because he's wearing Jason Statham's sweater. And, But then as she's like wandering away, I don't know, she's contemplating what kind of man she's looking for. And she breaks out into the main song of this movie, Cool Rider.
This is the best song in the whole movie. I'm sorry. This is the best song in the movie. I know it by fucking heart. I know the dances by heart. I was doing the dances in the living room when I was watching this last night. My daughter was mortified. I straddled the ottoman and I was just like doing jazz hands, explaining what kind of man I was looking for. It was great.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, she could have said, I want a bad boy, but nope, she had to break out into a 4-minute song and dance about it. Just like Joey did. Joey, take it away.
Right. That's right. That's right.
All right, Joey, from the top. 3, 2, 1, and.
You know, I've said this movie influenced me a lot. I think watching her straddle that ladder certainly awakened some things in me. As a young child. My favorite besides the fact that this song is awesome, the whole movie's awesome, but this song is awesome, is at the end, she's leaving and he goes to the door and watches her walk away.
Right.
And of course, it's a musical, so like the world doesn't interact with their song, but she's just like jazz hand jumping away the whole time. She's like, I want to see OOL, and she's like jiving down the block for it, and the camera like lingers and makes us watch her like dance away while everyone ignores her. Absolutely slays me every fucking time I watch
it. you almost expect Michael like looking at her and be like, oh, crazy bitch. No.
Or just like somebody would be like standing there in the background, just kind of look over and be like, what?
gentlemen, if you asked a girl out, she broke into song about how she just wants a bad boy and then literally leaves the building and dances like down the block and around the corner, like song fading out. Are you continuing pursuing this girl, or are you assuming that you're not her type?
I'm going to say that she didn't say no, so I'm going to
So you're saying there's a chance.
That's right.
And I mean, she is Michelle Pfeiffer, so.
I mean,
she
gave you the blueprint. This school, I could definitely be a bad boy, because what's my competition? Adrian Zemed? Come on. Right?
Shooter McGavin? Come on.
Right? Ooh, guys that can sing in unison.
But she gave you the blueprint of what she wanted. She told you right there. So now it's time to go get a leather jacket with no shirt on underneath. And
there you go.
Just do it up, you know?
But I need to get some money. And then almost as if he was listening to her sing about it, one of the T-Birds walks up to Michael, because you know, he has a reputation for being a bit of a straight A student and all that, and he's like, hey, maybe you could write some essays for me and I give you like, I don't know, $20 or something, or was it $5? I don't know. Yeah, I know when I did it in high school, it was $20, but, you know, inflation.
Right. No one was asking me or my friends to write essays for them. I promise you that. So I never got to experience this.
Yeah, it's pretty good, decent gas money back then. And then I just have written down next, wait, Michael lives in a fallout shelter?
Yes, he does.
Because we cut to him studying, and he's like, yeah, in a fucking fallout shelter, like, writing an essay, and then, I don't know, one of the T-Birds come walking in, and he's like, hey, this is actually pretty good. Thanks, man. So wait, that fallout shelter, is that where he's living?
Yeah.
Or is that, like, the T-Birds in
his
thing?
No, it's in his aunt and uncle's backyard. That's where they had their fallout shelter. They put him up there.
Okay, because then later in the movie, the T-Birds show up and utilize it, and I'm like, what, no luck? I don't know. But, yeah, anyway. I was a little confused there with the second part, but good to know.
I'm not sure why it only had one bed when it's implying, like, the family that lived there was going to go in there, but, you know, it is.
You just said it was his uncle's house. Maybe his uncle is just a loner.
No, they said his aunt and uncle live there, so at least, well, maybe they'll share a twin size bed, I guess. It's the end of the world at that point. I mean, what does it really matter?
You know? No, the uncle was totally going to leave the aunt behind.
He's like, right.
No more rules.
It's finally my chance to get rid of her.
Have you seen these twin cheerleaders? Yeah. So. we get to class the next day, and Mr. Stewart's talking about reproduction.
Oh,
and,
boy.
Oh, goodness.
When is the best time to conceive? Anyone? Anyone?
I'm scared.
Yeah. Anyway, let's just burst in the song about reproduction and where does the pollen go?
I will tell you guys.
When do women start their menstruation?
I was going to say that to this day. Yeah. To this day, I am now 45 years old and I was probably like 6 when I was watching this. To this day, I still randomly will be like, can't that girl do that thing in a book where she adds up the numbers of her menstruation?
Yeah, and during the course of this song, my one major note is, man, all males in the 60s are goddamn sexual predators.
They are all fucking sexual predators.
It's so weird because I'm going to assume when I was in high school, because I was in high school in the 90s, so I'm going to assume people were having adult relations. I'm sure that was a thing that was happening. But man, these guys, that's all they talk about. That's like all they care about. It's nonstop for the whole movie. Maybe it's the plastics in the water nowadays. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like in high school, like, I don't know. Me personally, I assume everyone else I know, thought about sex all the time, but never really acted on it.
Right.
Because, you know, I feel like nothing else would get done. Like, they'd forget to eat or sleep or breathe or...
Maybe it's because we had malls and TV and all sorts of cool stuff to distract us, and all these guys had was bowling once a week.
Right. Yeah, until the government invented AIDS. I mean, you know, it was just free love everywhere,
that's
right?
That's right. Until the damn boomers ruined it for everybody.
Stupid boomers inventing venereal diseases.
Seriously.
Ugh, every time.
Now there's like monkeypox and some shit.
That's right. We should make up a new verse to the song about monkeypox.
Where does the monkeypox go?
In your butthole.
But seriously, everybody listening, please don't get monkeypox.
Yeah, seriously, don't.
Don't get any venereal diseases if you can avoid it. I would just recommend that.
Yeah, one star. I would not recommend.
Just stick to 2D women, superior. You know.
Or as in one of our past episodes, straight jacking homie saves you that mad cream.
That's right. Yes! It is very odd during this song that like everybody's like dry humping and making out in the room. Like, I don't know, that's really weird in school.
Like on top of the teacher at some point.
Right. Oh, and then the teacher is all hot and bothered by another teacher.
You're just in the corner watching.
Right, just clicking that bean.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the good-looking guy in the show, he's at the junkyard buying a fixer-upper.
Right.
Was this during school? Is that why he wasn't there singing about sex?
No, wait. He was in the class, wasn't he?
Was he? I don't remember.
I thought he was just like looking awkwardly in the corner at Michelle Pfeiffer, and they're both like, oh man, these people are fucking nuts. Why are we even singing about this?
I don't know. But, I was honestly trying to tune this song out because like all of these guys were just being so fucking predatory.
Yeah. But yeah, we see him like working on a bike and like practicing in the park, like riding a motorcycle. And Frenchie shows up because, I know, she needed another scene.
Like, she's the Nick Fury of the Grease universe.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about the T-Bird Initiative.
Of a special group of people.
Yeah.
What do you know about the Avenger Initiative?
And then, like, you know, roll credits. Yeah. Then we get some more auditions, and I don't know, the T-Birds show up and sing their song. I just have written down, time passes. Because it's now like
time has passed.
Yeah, I guess it's like mid school year or whatever. Like, okay, I know this takes course over like an entire school year because it begins with, you know, them showing up on the bus the first day and then ending in graduation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were asking me how long this took, it was like maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh yeah, they were auditioning for that talent show for like the whole year. This shit was serious business.
Yeah, apparently.
Do not fuck with this talent show.
Yeah, we get a scene where the T-Birds, I don't know, there's this a cappella group singing Mr. Sandman, but they're, like, really good. And so they're, like, stalking him in the shower, and I was, I don't know, waiting for, like a Eastern Promises kind of moment to pop up in the middle of this movie.
That would have been awesome.
Just full-on naked fighting right there in the shower.
He's got a knife. Squack,
squack, squack. Guys, watch Eastern Promises. Rated R. Then we cut back to the Bolarama and the I don't know, the rival guy, the head scorpion or whatever. He's out front alone, and somebody goes like, "Hey, Johnny, that guy's out front. And he says he wants to fight." And of course, Johnny's fucking petrified of this 40-year-old man that's wanting to beat his ass.
Yeah.
Why didn't Scooter McGavin like beat the other guy up? Like, he was like twice his size. Like, and they were both in their 40s, so like, wouldn't have been a fair fight.
He probably eats piece of shit like him for breakfast. Who knows?
That's true. That's true.
Scooter was just waiting for Johnny's love, dude. That's all he wanted. He wanted Johnny.
Yeah, yeah.
Wanted his approval.
Exactly. Johnny, whenever Johnny was like, "Hey, comb," and then someone would give him a comb, and it wasn't Scooter, he would just like look down and be sad. It's like, I wanted to give Johnny the comb.
I'm going to start carrying a comb around, Mark, when we go to Comic Cons. I'll stand next to you and you can ask for it.
I'm going to snap my finger and be like, "Hey, comb."
I'll get one of those switchblade ones.
Yeah, but just before Johnny's, I don't know, about to be slapped around or something, he's saved by this mystery man who rolls in on a motorcycle and, like, drop kicks the dude. And they're like, "Who's that guy? Oh. Who's that guy?
Who's that guy?
Who's that guy riding around on a motorcycle?" I don't know. But he's, like, pulling wheelies and, like, driving through the scorpions. And I don't know, Steph is just soaking in her own juices watching this. Like,
oh, man. That's a real man.
It was pretty disappointing. Like, why couldn't one of the T-Birds have done that? All he did was, like, pop a wheelie and drive in between them a few times. Like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I don't
none
know.
Of those guys could have done magic. That. They were the greasers. Like, I don't know. They even had a sidecar. I mean,
oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm completely thinking about, like, Grease 1 of them, like, trying to get a car, trying to get Grease.
Everyone is.
I forgot these guys have motorcycles too. Losers.
Everyone, when they're riding their motorcycles, is a bit higher off the ground than they should be in every shot. They're clearly on the back of a truck no matter what is happening. I love it.
They just have double sized tires. Don't worry about it.
Really big wheels on these things.
Yeah, so, eventually, the mystery man drives off, and the other rivals go chasing after him, and then don't know, the pink ladies talk to Stephanie about her loyalty, and I just could not give a shit.
Loyalty, integrity, friendship.
Yeah, and yeah, she's like, oh, I'm just tired of being somebody's chick. I'm like, good for you, girl.
Yeah. Stand up for yourself, Stephanie.
And then she needs a light for her smoke, and then out of the mist, what a ride. Mystery Man's got the lighter ready to go. And but yeah, the cops show up, so she doesn't jump on the bike. He rides off into the sunset. Oh, yeah, he like jumps the cop car somehow. Don't worry about it.
Yep. Thank God that cop parked right by the ramp.
Yeah. Thank God. That was really nice of him.
Yeah. he probably slipped him like $20 earlier. He was like, could you park right by this ramp? I gotta look cool for this chick.
Oh no, I guarantee you that cop remembers last time when somebody tried to do it. And it just ran into the side of the car, and some 16-year-old flew like 100 yards, landing face first on the pavement. He had to clean it up afterwards. He's like, no, use the ramp.
See, I thought that that Cool Rider just had a flying motorcycle. That we've gotten to the point where the flying car, now it's a flying motorcycle.
Flying cars are expensive. You know, you just get those anywhere.
Yeah, so his cousin slipped him some of that that special formula that I think was in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang or something like that. Oh, that Jesus. Fuel just pour in there and just flying off. Because it comes back later in the movie too.
Look, Steve, as long as he obeys the laws of physics, nobody will die.
Don't you use your F9 logic on me. So the next day, I don't know, Michael has an awkward conversation with Stephanie.
Oh, I love this. I love it. It's like,
Take it away.
Hi, Stephanie. You ever read a Superman comic? Like that was the best you got. That was the best. Okay. All right.
No second take.
That was the best. That was the best he had. And like, that was his game. Like, ouch. He was terrible. It was terrible. Like, even I had better game than that. And that was a version until I was 18. Like, Jesus. Come on, bro.
Yeah. Now we're coming to the one part Steve remembers about this movie that didn't involve Michelle Pfeiffer. We have Lewis. He's going to Mike's fucking fallout shelter with a chick.
Yeah.
And basically he locks her in there with them.
This isn't uncomfortable at all.
Yeah.
And wrong.
Yeah, the friends outside, they sound that the bomb raid alarm or whatever. Like, what's going on out there? Oh my God, we gotta stay in here and do it for our country.
That's right.
And break into song about banging, you know, to keep the American race going.
That's right. We gotta do it for our country because our country wants us to.
And I feel your father would approve or something like that.
Mark, has that ever worked for you? Have you tried that before, like locking chicks in fallout shelters?
Dude, it works every time. I don't understand why no one is doing this more often.
Right? Just a lack of fallout shelters, I think.
I know, Joy. Next time I have a girl over, dude, I got to have you come by with the air horn.
just for posterity, let us know your address so we can slip that to the cops.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, so eventually she, like, just runs out the door for, you know, wherever. She's like, okay, let's do it, and then, like, runs out the door. Like, okay. I assume she's just rather die of radiation poisoning than fuck this guy. But, yeah, runs into the other guys, and it's like, oh, boy.
That's pretty rough, though, when she's like, all right, well, I guess I'll go die in a nuclear Armageddon rather than sleep with you.
Yeah, but then we see Stephanie. She's working at a gas station with $50 or 50-cent gas, and I'm like, "Fuck you, movie."
That's right. This is pretty. It cut me deep in that scene. That's wrong. This is the saddest scene of the movie.
And that was probably expensive back then to them.
Yeah, that was fancy gas. You get Michelle Pfeiffer to pump it for you.
Hell yeah! Ooh, money well spent. But yeah, eventually this mystery man rides up on his bike and is like, "Hey, you want to go for a ride?" And they drive off, and she says, fuck my job, fuck you fuckers, clean your own windshields.
Yeah, she didn't clean that guy's windshield, she didn't give those people their maps, she didn't give those other people their green stamps, like, ugh, what a mess.
Yep, nope. Instead, they ride on the motorcycle all night, and eventually end back up there at the gas station, like, let's say 5 hours later, and you know, they do a little hugging because she's chilly after being on the back of that motorcycle for 5 hours, I guess. And we see the mystery man takes his goggles off, and of course we know it's Michael, but she's still hugging him, so she's not seeing the face. And then the T-birds start rolling up, vroom, 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 vroom. And then yeah, he just like drives off, like, "I'll see you at the talent show, bye, love." like I feel like that would have been the way to tell her without really telling her, like, why did he call me a cunt? It's British. I don't know.
It's Australian, excuse me.
There was one cool scene that I thought, there was one cool thing about that scene that I actually had to rewind a little bit just to watch it again. There's a scene where, you know, she's on a bike, the back of the motorcycle with him, and Michelle Pfeiffer gets up and straddles him, like moves to the front of him and straddles him on a motorcycle. And that was really Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, she did her own stunt. I'm like, who approved this?
And we got Cool Rider reprise on the soundtrack at that point.
Yes. Yep. But this is clearly Michelle Pfeiffer's first movie, because no one would let anyone get away with that anytime after that. Her doing her own stunts, amazing.
Yeah, this was right before Twilight Zone, so they started paying attention after that.
Right, exactly.
So what happens from here? Johnny causes some sort of scene, and as I run down, who the fuck cares? That's right, and he's like talking to the T-Birds, and he's like, I don't know about you guys, but I need some guaranteed woohoo or whatever. Like, so we're going prowling, and apparently the song Prowling is about going to the grocery store and picking up on some chick. Is that right? It's
like going to the grocery store.
Being a sexual predator in public.
Right, and sexually harassing the women that work there. Yeah.
Nice.
I guess that was just something you did in the 60s. They didn't have the internet, so things were boring.
Just where the women are local and plentiful. So if it's not church, it's got to be the grocery store.
Guaranteed whoopee.
Look, you got to get a woman from the grocery store because you know that they can make a sandwich.
See you guys at the deli counter. Yeah. the next day, I guess Stephanie, I don't know, wrote a shitty paper on Shakespeare, and Michael's like, "I can help you."
Of course.
You know, because I'm British and whatnot, I guess. I don't know. And, so they're, like, at the diner, and, like, I don't know, he's trying to help with the paper. He's like, "You seem distracted about something." She's like, "Oh, it's nothing. Don't worry about it." But, okay, it's this mystery guy, Mr. Wright, who rides up on a bike and makes me all gushy in my pants and whatever. And
they don't put ketchup on the burgers.
Right?
I guess. And then she orders one with double ketchup later, and I'm like, do you guys have any special order you do to a burger? Like extra pickles or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. No onions, no tomatoes, extra pickles.
All right, you're that guy.
I don't eat burgers in a restaurant that often because we have a family of four and it's expensive as fuck to go out to eat. If I'm going through the drive-thru at like McDonald's, I'll get no pickles because I don't like pickles. But 90% of the time they leave the pickles on anyway because they're idiots. So I just don't get what I want. I can commiserate with Michael and Stephanie in this one not getting their order correct at the diner. So. Because, you know, we just don't want pickles on there. Then when the pickles touch everything, even though they can just pick them off, now everything tastes like pickle. It's all ruined, so.
Yeah, and Michael, of course, he just likes Vegemite, so, you that's know. Right. He's like, ketchup, what the hell is that?
He likes beans for breakfast because he's from England.
And Spotted Dick for dessert. Anyway, so.
Yeah, Steve, do you get special orders?
No. I mean, maybe getting buffalo sauce to like put on it or something like that. That's about the most I'll do, really.
Yeah.
I trust the chef.
I try not to order burgers that have things on it that I don't like or can't eat. But fun fact, they rarely put mango on burgers, so.
I mean, probably a good thing.
Steve's allergic to bananas. I'm allergic to mangoes. So we just stay away from Jamba Juice and we're good.
Yeah, that'll work for you guys.
Pretty much. Yeah. So Mike starts making his move, and I don't know, Stephanie's like, oh, you gotta be a T-Bird, you know, Pink Lady Code and whatnot, and I don't know, Johnny shows up and, like, declares that they're officially over. We're done, right? Oh, by the way, that jacket is T-Bird property, and she just, like, walks away, and I'm like, yeah, what the fuck's he gonna do about it? He's gonna try to get that jacket back? No. He whoop his ass. Like, the next day at school, like, we see sad Michael just wandering around the lunchroom, and we hear his inner sad song, Charades. Right.
Charades.
Oh, God.
And, you know, like, there's... Die.
Not a fan, Mark? Not a fan?
Not a fan of any of these musical numbers. Every time a song started, I'm like, oh, what choices have I made in my life that has led me to this point?
Yeah, I was honestly waiting since they were in the lunchroom and this was going on, like, oh no, there's going to be a dance sequence in this lunchroom, because that's why you have a lunchroom, apparently, in a musical, is to have, you know, the big dance number, like, Charades, it would be like some sad, like, ballet dancing or interpretive dance or some shit, but nope, they just skip all that and we cut to the night of the talent show. All right, we're wrapping this movie up. Only about, 40 minutes to go? Mystery Man, like, pulls up because, you know, he said he'd meet Stephanie there. But, yeah, the T-Birds are there, too, and so they chase after him. And, oh, no, they're heading towards Dead Man's Curve. And, just a single track going off the cliff, off into, I'm assuming, using that special Australian fuel that makes them fly.
You know, I'm telling you, you don't know what Michael was building in that garage with those $5 that he got from the term papers. It was a flying motorcycle.
There really is no explanation as to how he survived, though. Like, he just did.
He just goes, Viva, Viva Knievel, right off the edge.
Starts flying away. Maybe you got the blueprints from Sandy. You don't know. Flying vehicles.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Maybe he joined Megaforce. Maybe he...
Yeah. His fuel tank takes flubber or something and just...
Oh, my God. Save that for Grease 3. On here?
Babe, we can't talk about Flubber because it's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
Anyway, so then we go back to the talent show. Because, you know, people may have witnessed some kid just, oh, yeah, we chased him off the edge and he killed himself. Well, fuck it, I gotta get back and sing doo-wop.
Right?
Yeah, there's 100 records on the line here.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and the other guy's like, oh man, there's like 7 Roy Orbisons in here. Johnny tells Paulette, that's right, he like runs into Paulette, she's about to do her number, and he's like, well, what are you wearing? You gotta put some clothes on here. And I don't know, she's like, look, I've had enough.
Play it summer, I gotta be in my swimsuit.
I've had enough of your shit, you 4 foot tall needle dick motherfucker, like pushes him out on the stage. And I don't know. And then they go to the locker room, tie up that a cappella group in the showers because, okay, I guess they don't want competition. All right. And then, we get the Girl for All Seasons dance number and everything's going good until
Steph starts having a NOM flashback in the middle of
it. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, before we even get to that, what the fuck was going on with the girl to like her right that was like dressed up like George Washington, but like a quarter or something, and had, but like the face was drawn on her body, like body paint or something.
Like this February?
Yeah, it was like the winter or whatever. Yeah, but it was like, what's happening here? What? But
It was super weird that like every time she moved, the face was moving. Like I was wildly distracted.
And that the eyes were uneven, so it's like, wait, is she like a Picasso or is
her boobs? I feel like it was on the eyes were on the boobs, and they were like, no, you have to change it. So they did like one eye on a boob and one eye like just below
the under boob.
Yeah.
Now does she show up later on in another coin-based outfit, one that like covers her head? Because I know that there was two. I do remember the one that you're talking about, but then I also remember one where the coin was like her face was the coin, the face coin.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. They were all just switching outfits and stuff between the seasons, but...
Well, my question
Joey?
Is, if Michael was playing piano throughout the rehearsal and then Michael jumped off a cliff, who's playing piano during the
time? Don't worry about it.
obviously, it was Dolores.
Of course.
That makes sense.
Right. She that was helping sense. A tiny bit earlier, so maybe she just like learned by osmosis.
She's exactly. his understudy.
Right after she learned how to skateboard, kind of.
Right after she went on a creepy date with a senior in high school.
Right.
Yeah, so as Joey said, yeah, Stephanie, she's like in the middle and just starts having a fucking non-flashback and
God, I love doing this.
Doing her own song right in the middle, and I don't know, she's having like visions of like being in the clouds with what I've written down as the Ghost Rider.
Dude, when he's like, Stephanie,
Ghost Rider.
When he's just like, Stephanie, you're the only one who can keep my love alive. It just fucking slays me every single time because it's so lame.
Yeah. Hey, his outfit's know, she, all she's white. A high school girl, so you know,
his outfit's sense. All white.
And as I've written down, like during this whole like 3 minute number, like, and in real life, she's just having a mental breakdown in front of the entire town.
Right, she's just pissing herself on stage.
She's like standing there in a catatonic state.
Yeah. But instead, everybody's like, wow, amazing, and like round of applause, and her and Johnny are named like the king and the queen of the cotillion. And nobody's questioned like, hey, where's our pianist?
Yeah.
Did he die or something?
Don't worry about it.
Oh, don't worry about it, guys. We'll just see you all at the luau tomorrow. And as we're in down the fucking luau tomorrow?
Right?
This is the first time this was mentioned?
Right? I would like to know more about this luau.
Well, babe, you're in luck because we immediately cut to it where they talk about it's a rucka lucka 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 luau or some shit like that.
Definitely very culturally sensitive.
Joey, take it away.
So apparently there is this the prom? Like, does this count as the prom?
Yes.
Their prom is a luau around a swimming pool with probably like 50 people there. I don't know. Our graduating class was like 300 people. So like this is wild.
Yeah, mine was 600. So yeah, I get it.
50 people there. And somehow Johnny and Stephanie are the king and queen of the luau, which they won in the talent show.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get it. It only took you watching it, I don't know, 5,000 times over the course
it's
of your life.
Very confusing how the rules work in this, but I mean, it was the 60s. So, you know, all the leaves are brown and all that stuff, you know. And they're in a rowboat in the middle of a swimming pool.
Yeah,
because they're the king and queen. That's what you do,
right?
Yeah. The king and queen set afloat like to the gates of Valhalla or whatever. I don't know. Am I mixing up my mythology?
It's a magic. It's a magic raft, and we'll come back to that in a little bit because it's.
Oh, it's gonna fly off. Ah.
No, well, it does something. So the evil gang shows up.
Yeah, the scorpions
show up to ruin their prom.
Yeah, they're just like kicking over thing. Like I swear they like kick over the pig. Yeah, like oh no, we weren't gonna eat that. And just driving through everything, and then. Who's that? It's the mystery man. He's not dead. He comes flying in and he fucking Evel Knievels over the pool.
Yeah.
While everybody else barely gets over the stairs and falls in.
Well, here's the best part is they are clearly on that raft in the middle of the pool, right?
Yeah.
He jumps over them. They're clearly in the middle of the pool. It's established. They can't move. They're stuck there. He jumps over them. Then everybody falls in the pool and the raft is gone.
Yeah.
The raft sank.
It wasn't that big of a pool.
Where were they? Like they didn't.
I'm pretty sure it was just like a 15 foot above ground pool.
Yeah, but like where did they go? They just like disappeared while everyone fell in the pool, and they reappeared at the edge of the pool and got out.
Well, when he jumped over the pool, the air current from the bike lifted the raft into the air, causing the other motorcycles to go through the ramp into the water, and then he safely put them back down.
Oh, I got it. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
This is the only like realistic option. Yeah.
Is that truly my multiverse of madness?
Have you not seen any Fast and Furious movies? Come on, dude.
That's it's about fucking magnets, isn't it?
You hit that nitro. Yeah, so then once he jumps the pool and, I don't know, everybody else goes into the fucking pool like lemmings, all the scorpions. Then he takes off his goggles and everyone sees that it's Michael. Michael! And Steph immediately starts stripping down, tearing her clothes off, like, get in me! But I thought you were dead! And then Johnny, he runs up there and he's like, hey, you, I got a point to make.
Right.
Here, try this jacket on. What?
Over your leather vest.
Yeah, over your leather vest and shirt. Yeah. And the 12-year-old, Dolores, she like what comes up is like, I'm sorry, I'm seeing another guy on the side. I gotta dump your ass.
But that's still gross because that guy was in their grade.
Yes, he was still in high school. And I'm like, that's a funny gag. But
that guy was graduating high school. He's 18 and that chick's like 12. Gross.
Guys, they were being playful. We'll go with that. But then Michael leans down, whispers something in her ear. I assume along the lines of "See me when you're 18."
Oh, and Jesus!
Right, and that scene is like it's supposed to be playful and done for jokes. But then, as they're getting through the closing number, and you see the couples are paired off with each other. That guy is paired off with that little girl, and they're like face to face. And I'm like, oh,
that's weird.
Oh no,
no, no, no, no, no! How did this get past anyone?
Well, all right. Before
he
we
has
get
to
that
date
part,
a pink
though,
lady, I mean, what were his choices?
Yeah, slim pickings there towards the bottom of the pool. But we get Michael and Stephanie. They finally kiss. In absolute silence, except for their slobbery noises.
The most awkward scene of the entire movie. Jesus.
Yeah, because it's like a good 20, 30 seconds of...
Right?
While the entire school stands there and stares at them.
Yep. Oh, we upset the dog.
Yep.
And sorry,
then,
buddy.
And then they go in for a second kiss, and then the music starts to roll in, like, we'll be together, whatever.
Oh, like birds of a feather forest.
Sorry.
How do you...
Super 50s. Very much
Joey,
very
50s. You're saving me from having to put the drops in, so... But yeah, Johnny and Paulette decide they're going to be together too. Everyone starts pairing off, like Mark was saying, and it gets really awkward.
And one guy's got a 12-year-old, yep. No one noticed, though. He slinked away with a 12-year-old while everyone was watching Michelle Pfeiffer make out with Michael. So.
The fools, there's a lot more tread on these tires. Oh, boy.
Oh, Jesus.
So then we cut to graduation. Everybody tosses their hats or bandoliers. I don't know what the fuck you call it. Not bandoliers, what?
Their graduation caps?
Yeah, their caps. There we go. Yeah. Toss their caps. And then they're like running to, they do a running dance off, roll credits as like yearbook pictures. Who gives a damn? They're off to college where they pay $20 a semester and don't incur crippling debt for another 30 years.
But they'll be damned if anybody else gets that same deal.
Yeah, he worked fair and square writing those papers for that $5 to pay off his college. So
that's right. Yeah, so yeah, roll credits, guys. That's Grease 2. Mark, would you recommend it?
I would not recommend this movie to anyone. I just like the special edition steel box version of Grease 2, and I could not for the life of me figure out why anyone would want this. And then Joey posted it, and people, for some reason, love this movie. It's torturous. Watch it. It is absolute torture. So I don't get it at all. I would not recommend anyone watch this movie at all. Watch the first Grease or High School Musical or anything other than Grease 2.
All right, Joey, how about you?
I love this movie. I'm sorry, Mark. I guess you don't get it, but it's a bad movie masterpiece. It's so bad, and we went through some of the wild, crazy stuff in it that's just weird or inappropriate or confusing. And then, like, I like to think of people that were big fans of Grease, because that was a big hit movie. It's like a cultural event. And they were like, yeah, let's go see the sequel. And then they got this. It makes me love it even more. And then...
it was like, the Highlander 2 of musicals.
Right. And then... What's even funnier to me is, like, a couple of years ago when Kavanaugh got nominated to the Supreme Court, right? They had this whole trial thing where that girl was accusing him of stuff, blah, blah, blah. In the evidence was his calendar when he was in school. And on one of the days it said, see Grease 2. So he had it in his planogram, his planner to go see Grease 2. And it makes me think about how awful it was. And he had to sit through it. So that makes me happy. But it's a classic bad movie. It's hilarious. It's got great music. I think it is truly the superior Grease movie. I would take it 10 out of 10 times over the first one.
God, I can't believe you said the word great and Grease 2 in the same sentence. Boom.
I'll make you watch it a third time. You better be nice.
Izzy, how about you?
Oh, I know that this movie is beloved, but God damn it, this is rough. Oh, so, like, the moral of the story is that a woman who says she doesn't want to be doesn't want to be owned by a man just has a bunch of men fight over her until she's finally owned by a man, and he, I guess, breaks her will by faking his own death.
But it's the kind of man that she wants, though.
Yeah, no, after he breaks her will by faking his own death.
Except for that one guy that dates a 12-year-old.
Yeah. All right, well, guys... Joey in particular, I can see why you love this movie. As someone who's waiting for the Steelbook 4K Blu-ray of Congo to come out someday, the heart wants what the heart wants.
That's right.
But and I will also agree, this is the better of the Grease movies. I'll throw it out there. I could not give less of a fuck about the first Grease. But this is a horrible goddamn movie to have to sit through. It's entirely too long. The songs are entirely too long. Voyage of the Rock Aliens did it better.
Wow. All right.
And it's basically the exact same story, but they throw in a couple killers and aliens and and lake monsters.
100% less Jermaine Jackson in this one, though.
Anyone with melanin in their skin was completely absent from this movie.
That is true. That is true.
Seriously.
But so I guess if you're glutton for punishment, check it out. If not, it's up to you. It's I had to pay $4 on Amazon to watch it, and it's $4 I'm not getting back, that's for sure.
Or you could jump on Amazon and get the $20 Steelbook. Looks really nice on your shelf.
Or not. All right, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we have more beer,
what?
Fun facts, and what we learn from Grease 2.
Hey everybody, are you looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the holidays? Do you like supporting the arts? Well then you need to check out untidyvenus.etsy.com, the top one-stop shop that always pops her top. Are you a fan of dinosaurs? Snacks? Dinosaurs made out of snacks? Movie monsters? Unicorns? Cats? Dogs? Rats? Shrimp? Pokemon? Tie-dye? Paracord bracelets? Paracord dog leashes? Enamel pins? Coloring books? Block prints? Watercolor? Pet portraits? Buttons, magnets, stickers, bottle openers, artist trading cards, or really anything else that's awesome? Then stop on by untidyvenus.etsy.com. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. Etsy.com. New items are popping up all the time, so be sure to follow her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon at untidyvenus. Or visit her website at izzycreates.com for the latest. Did I mention the Snackosaurs? How about Gary the Unicorns? Untidyvenus.etsy.com. The goddess who's bad at housekeeping. Check it out now.
Hey everybody, this is Jason.
And Jeff.
And Blake.
And we're the History of Bad Ideas podcast. And if you like hearing geeks talk about Fisto from He-Man.
Or zombies, or dragons, or zombie dragons.
I was given copy to read, but it's a piece of crap. So if you just like any geek or any fun stuff, just listen.
We drop every Wednesday on iTunes, Stitcher, Tangent Bound Network, or WeBeGeeksPC.com.
Oh, God, I'm out of here. And remember to wear a coat.
Hi, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Jason.
And we host a podcast called Four Screens
and Country.
And what do we do on this podcast, Jason?
We talk about the best British films of all time, as voted by British people in the British year of 1999.
The BFI Top 100, to be exact.
100 movies.
So with each episode, we talk about a movie on the list, historical significance, if it holds up, etc., etc., etc. You can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and all that good stuff.
Wherever podcasts are sold, sold, sold.
Hi, this is Ernie Hudson, Winston Zeddemore from Ghostbusters, from Oz, The Hand That Rocks, The Cradle, The Crow, Grayson, Frankie, Monroe Kelly, and Congo, your great white hunter, though I happen to be black. Steve, Izzy, just want to give you a shout out and let you know just how much you are truly loved and appreciated, as you truly are amazing. If anyone has the tools and the talent, it's you. Just keep having fun, stay healthy, safe, and of course always, keep on busting.
And we're back.
Oh my God, Steve, this is the greatest ads that ever added in the history of adding.
Oh, she said it.
They were better than this movie.
Babe, I don't know about you, but I'm a little thirsty.
I'm a little sober.
Oh, well, look at this. We have a gift from this movie. From Moab Brewery, we have Johnny's American IPA. Thanks, Johnny Nogarelli or whatever his name was.
Right.
That's what happened to him.
You're right. He moved to Moab, Utah to make beer. All right. And my top?
Oh, this top.
Nice. And the pool? Oh, yeah.
Ooh, beautiful dark straw-colored beverage. Has an off-white creamy head. Lots of tiny bubbles.
Tiny bubbles make me happy.
Long lingering head hair.
Yeah, nice and hoppy.
Ooh, that smells like pine.
Oh, wow, yeah. That is really piney. That's right, this one we had at a Zoo Brew last week, right?
Guys, check your local zoo. You might be able to go after hours and get drunk with the animals.
Yeah, some of them
say it's for conservation!
That's right. No kids, no strollers, just adults drinking beer and buying art made by... What did we buy?
A warthog
ass press? Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Well, yeah, the warthog sat in paint and then sat on our canvas, and I had $55, so I bought it.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's on our wall in our living room.
Yeah, check out your local zoo. They probably have a cool night like that. But yeah, nice hoppy beer. I could drink these for a while until, I think eventually the pininess would...
eventually
make my throat a little sore or whatever, just kind of...
You're not supposed to blow it.
you get in the back of the throat, the weird...
Yeah, stop sucking its dick and just drink the beer.
Goddamn, babe.
Sorry, I guess I'm just country. All horned up. I just want to know where does the pollen go.
You can't stop me from sucking Johnny's IPA. Ah, man, good stuff. Ah... So would anyone be interested in any fun facts about this movie? Joey probably already knows, but
only if they're super fun facts, because they're fun facts.
All right. Well, we start off with Rotten Tomatoes.
100%.
What do you think the critics thought? Oh, Grease 2. 100% from Joey. How about you, Mark?
I'm going to say like 20%.
Is he?
I am going to go with 7%. I don't think it's double digits.
Mark's closest at 36% with the critics, but nobody gives a fuck about the critics. What
fuck
about that audience?
Critics.
100%.
100% from Joey.
13%.
13.
I'm going to go with my super classic 17%.
It is 53% with the audience. You have to think, who's going to go in to give a score for Grease 2? Somebody who's probably seen it, therefore sought out a horrible musical sequel. let's see. Budget, $13.2 million. Worldwide gross, 15.2. I think it's a flop.
Profitable. They've made $2 million.
I don't know. You throw in advertising, marketing, all that fun stuff. Yeah. There's a reason there wasn't a Grease 3. That's all I'm saying. Grease 3, The Search for Curly's Gold or something.
Oh, Jesus.
Three.
Tom. Oh, yeah. Shit. It's Grease, but yeah, the E at the end is a 3 or something. Yep. Yeah. Tom Cruise apparently auditioned for the role of Negrelli, but the director wanted someone older and taller. Guys, apparently Adrian Zemed is taller than Tom Cruise. Holy Take that shit. Into consideration.
Wow.
I'm surprised Tom Cruise didn't just, like, kill himself after that. We need someone taller. Here's Adrian Zemed. Like, that's it. I'm done, guys. Oh, yeah, back to the dumpster. Thanks.
I'm going back to being a Tom Mapplethorpe or whatever his real name is.
Well, imagine a world where Adrian Zmed is starring in Top Gun Maverick right now.
Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol starring Adrian Zmed.
Actually, to me, that sounds amazing, but you know, I know how Mark feels about it.
Rex Manning.
Andy Gibb was initially to play the male lead, but he failed his screen test. Cher initially signed on to play Paulette, but backed out, complaining of a low salary and not having a finished script. And apparently Jennifer Beal signed on to play Sharon Cooper, whoever the fuck that is, but dropped out to play the lead in Flashdance. Yeah! Yeah! Good move, Jenny. Yeah, who's Sharon?
It's got to be one of the Seabirds. Was it the one that was in the shed? The Let's Do It for Our Country Girl?
Yeah, that was Sharon.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that was Sharon. That's right. Good call.
Well, that actress that actually ended up playing Sharon certainly knew how to pick them, because after Grease 2, she was in Supergirl.
She's Lois Lane's little sister.
Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, here we are. My next fun fact. Do It for Our Country is a duet between Sharon and Lewis in this movie. Maureen Teefy, the actress later, couldn't make it to the recording session, so Peter Frechette had to sing the whole song himself, which is why Maureen's vocals aren't on the movie soundtrack, and her voice was dubbed in later in the song.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Wait, did he sing the girl parts, too?
I guess, yeah. We'll do it for our country!
That dude earned his paycheck.
Fuck yeah. According to Maxwell Caulfield's stunt double, Gary Davis, okay, Michelle Pfeiffer performed her own stunts in the famous Lone Rider Stephanie romantic motorcycle ride, saying, "Yeah, she sat behind me, then I lifted her around, and where she straddled me, and then we wheelied away. She was wonderful the whole time." I assume he's Australian.
Why do you sound Irish?
Throwing a few mites, and no, I don't know. And, originally, plans were made for this to be the second installment in a franchise of 4 movies and a TV series.
Wow. Man.
But when the movie flopped, plans for the franchise were thrown out, and Disney ended up adapting the unused script for the 3rd movie as High School Musical.
Oh, God.
Of course. I'm still waiting for Agents of Grease, the TV show, to come out.
I'm so disappointed.
Oh, I'm sorry that they got that rebranded as High School Musical Goes to Summer Camp.
Yeah, what is that called? Like High School Musical, the series, the musical, or some shit like that?
Yeah, no, but they flush it so much because they're ashamed of it. Like they play the commercials and then it's literally a third of a second with the name of the show. It's like, oh, okay.
But lady, gentlemen, we've reached the most important part. What did we learn from Grease 2? Mark, you want to go first?
I learned that I still don't know where the pollen goes.
Damn it, he's still
alive. Despite the fact that they keep asking it through the movie, and the whole movie, I'm like, seriously, before the credits roll, where does the pollen go? God damn it. So, I learned that I don't know that.
All right, Joey, how about you?
I learned I should have took a bowling in high school. Apparently that's how you score every night.
Yeah. Babe?
I mean, I was going to use the pollen one, so now I'm scrambling. I learned that all a strong independent woman needs is a guy to break her spirit and then convince her that he's the only thing that can fix her.
In Have you been reading my Pimpology book again?
Yeah, it's in my office.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know why it ended up in my office.
Because you were reading it. No. I learned if you're trying to get into Michelle Pfeiffer's pants, less history, more mystery.
Yeah.
Yes.
No Superman comics.
Yeah, no Superman comics. Nobody needs that shit.
Look, no, the Superman comics do not turn girls on. Oh, some girl out there is going to be like, oh, but it does for me. Yeah, yeah, no, we get it. Anything that impresses guys turns it on for you. No, like, real girls are, like, not impressed by comics. Real girls are impressed by tacos.
And so that explains a lot about
you
my...
You show up with the taco bouquet, you are definitely getting some.
Explains a lot for my love life, let me tell you.
A taco bouquet, or also known as a butaki. Just... gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here on Everything I Learned from Movies. I understand you also have a podcast?
Yeah, Mark is going to tell you all about it.
I knew you were going to do that. Yeah, so me, Joey, and our co-host Aubrey, we get together every week. And the name of our show is called Soul Wizard Podcast, where we review movies and TV shows and nerdy events that may be happening that week. We put out a new episode every single week. We just celebrated our 8th year of doing a podcast.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, soulwizardpodcast.com is the main site. You can get our social media there. Hit us up, listen to the show, and let us know what you think.
Excellent. And Izzy, are you on social media now?
I am. You can find me everywhere at Untidy Venus. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. I'm on all the social medias under Untidy Venus. You can find my goods and wares at untidyvenus.etsy.com. And for $4 a month, you can join me on Patreon with my Sticker of the Month Club. I will mail you a sticker that I designed, waterproof, UV resistant, with a handwritten note. Plus, I got lots of other Patreon levels. See pictures of the pets, like our brand new adorable puppy suit.
Yeah. And
by puppy, I mean, you know, he's 50 pounds. But still, he's just a little boy. He gonna be bigger.
50 pounds going on 80.
I mean, yeah. Steve, where can we find you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so you can find us everywhere on all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned from Movies. Or better yet, hit us up directly on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. No, not Instagram. Patreon.
Patreon
at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies. See, we can do musicals. Anyway. So yeah, I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And I'm Joey. And I'm Mark.
Yes, and we are.
We are the Wizard Podcast.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. Have a good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Peace.
Where does the fallen...